Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, Mace is here. Andy Kamenetsky is here today filling in for John. And that's kind of where I want to start, Mace.
What happened?
Did you just tell me that Mace doesn't know about this?
I don't believe I do.
Okay. He does not know anything about this.
There's a text chain going around. That's all I've heard.
So Chris just told me when he was in, it's a live imaging Thursday.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Yep. And he was saying that John heard one of the opens for the Travis and Slee show. Was it yesterday, Slee?
I think so.
He sent Chris a note saying, hey, I like that. That was a funny line. It's about Boogie Nights, and they had a brief back and forth.
Okay.
And so Bergman was saying that he has not responded to you guys despite him reaching out, or you reaching out to him. Are you offended that he's randomly sending texts to other people?
I don't think I even noticed any of this stuff. Am I supposed to be really rankled by this whole thing?
No, if you're not, you're not.
So I was not.
Bergman sounded mildly rankled.
This might have been Berg in the heart.
Are you rankled, Berg?
No, I'm not rankled. I'm just, all I said to him was that this is funny. He's reaching out. Rankled is a weird word.
I like it.
I'm shocked that he reached out to Chris but has not responded to anything that we've put into the text message.
Well, what have you? I've not sent John anything. He's on vacation. I don't send him stuff.
We just sent a TikTok yesterday.
Yeah, well, I don't expect people to respond to vacation texts.
No, neither do I. That's why we haven't been texting him.
But that's why you're unrankled.
He reached out to Morales.
Right.
And while he's in Idaho?
Ireland reaches out to
Chris.
Morales.
Yes. But doesn't respond to anything that we put.
Yes.
Even, I don't expect him to. But the fact is, he's reaching out to Chris.
Yeah, I don't know.
I can tell Bay's like, I don't give up.
I'm kind of disappointed that you're unrankled.
I could go really hard on this, but I don't expect anybody to respond to text messages when they're on vacation. Now, I guess what John did was he was listening to the app somewhere in Idaho, heard something, texted Morales, said, hey, I really like that. Now, am I upset about that? No, I'm not upset about that.
Honestly, it's too bad. I was hoping you would be.
Rankled.
It feels more like a reflection of John listening to the shows in Idaho. It's like, unplug, man. Like, really? You should not have
any
idea.
The app.
You can't,
I mean,
you
the
can't
app
not
so
listen
easy.
To Travis Slee when you're on vacation.
No, that's not an option.
I
mean, you know, sometimes I will, and I never pay attention to anything, social media, anything on the station, Twitter, all that stuff when I'm on vacation. I always thought John never did either. But apparently John is listening to Travis and Slee. I think we've said all positive things about John, right?
It has been all positive.
All positive
but
about
like,
John.
That would mean that John is listening to, because you just said he's going to listen to
hey,
his
John,
own show.
What's up?
So he's listening to 6 hours a day minimum of radio while on vacation.
I like it.
Unplug, John.
Maybe the 9-hour mega block in Idaho.
There you go. Andy, you were in there when we were talking about Funches is on
well,
his...
7, he's listening to Freddie Coleman. All the way through.
Yeah. Freddie's been gone the entire time. He hasn't even noticed.
Freddie's still doing it.
Freddie's knocking it out. Funches is on his honeymoon.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Where'd he go?
Cancun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, beautiful.
Okay, so he's in
the
Cancun.
The all-inclusive one.
Oh, I love this.
So he sent us a picture on the beach yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful Cancun beach. It's a great picture.
Everything you think of. Like, imagine that setting.
It's the Corona commercial that he's living.
Okay, cool. Okay? Snoop just walked by.
Exactly. Only he's having Hennessy. On the beach.
He's drinking a Hennessy?
Yeah. And so Slee and I are like, it feels like there are certain alcohols that belong in certain places. And Hennessy on the beach just struck both of us as odd. Are we out of our minds?
Look, the whole point of vacation is to go somewhere and do everything you want to do. Do everything you like. If Hennessy is what Funch likes, hello, Cancun.
Okay, that's a great photo.
Oh, that's a really good
picture.
Yeah,
it's a great picture.
Yeah, he's like toasting.
Yeah.
And first of all, that's actually Funches. The picture is him in a room, not on the beach. So he may be going with a different drink or liquor.
But how do we know that's Hennessy? Did he say it was Hennessy?
He told us.
He's a Hennessy on
the
rocks guy.
Because it could be bourbon, it could be anything, right?
Right, but that's Hennessy on ice, which feels much more like an in-your-room you know, maybe it's a nightcap, or I guess, you know, it's vacation, it's a morning starter.
It's an eye opener.
It's a starter.
But either way, though, it's I was picturing like a snifter of Hennessy Neat.
A snifter.
Like in a 100-degree weather. Yeah, which you do you. Yeah. But
he said Hennessy is flowing like wine here.
Good for him. Have you been to an all inclusive?
Yeah.
Haven't you?
Oh, yeah, I've never done one.
Oh, you would be in trouble.
Would I?
Oh, there's food everywhere.
Because I could chill out on that.
You think you could?
No.
Like shrimp cocktail on every corner.
I could chill out on the food. Look, like we talked about earlier today. I'm not saying, but the alcohol, I would have a hard time if I knew that there was no end in sight and there was no bill coming.
There is no end in sight. Yeah. There is no end.
Yeah. There's no end. Closing at 11. I mean, you're doing your work. They're open 7 a.m., 6 a.m. to 11.
There's people around.
Yeah, room service. That's all part of it, too.
All right. You're talking me into it.
The place that I stayed in Mexico near Cancun, Playa del Carmen, you can't go 20 yards without encountering a Dos Equis. Like it's impossible.
Right.
It is impossible to do it. And I didn't resist.
Was it part of the all inclusive?
Oh yeah.
I'm surprised that that's.
I did all inclusive. Yeah, I mean, I did a few years back. I was actually a number of years back, but I always thought it was really cool that you didn't have to worry about the check.
Nothing.
At the end of the day, and you didn't have to. You know, like that's actually the cool
part. Do you get
to
the saturation point where you're like, I don't need another shrimp.
I've eaten enough,
and you have 3 days left. You have 3 days left.
That's the thing I like. So I'm going to
make salads.
I'm going on vacation next week to Costa Rica. The one thing about that is I always come back weighing less than I did when I went because there's so much hiking
and the
food is really fresh and all
say,
that stuff.
That's what I was going to say. You end up, as much as it's unlimited everything food-wise, you realize once you leave America how little these other countries rely on everything processed and pre-made and all that stuff. So it's less caloric. Even though you're eating so much of it.
So Al asked an interesting question the other day about vacations. Mm-hmm. Are you a vacation guy and like you want to go sit on the beach or are you a trip guy? I want to go somewhere and do the things that are in that spot. I want to go see the sights. I want to meet the people. I want to be out and about active.
Try local restaurants, all that. Right. Or do you just want a vacation?
I just want to go camp out at one place. But the one place that I go to has got zip lining. It's got a thermal river. It's got whitewater inner tubing.
Damn, that's awesome.
So there's a river that runs right out of a volcano. So the further up, the closer you get to the volcano, the hotter the water gets. And it's flowing right out of the volcano. Wow. It's unbelievably
cool.
Yeah, really
feels
cool.
Like something out of Bond villain.
Yeah, no, it really is. It really is cool and hot mineral bath. But I want the zip lining and I want the whitewater tubing and stuff like that.
Yeah, I can't do just like a week straight or 5 days straight of just sitting on a beach. A, I will get bored. B, I'll feel like I could have just done a staycation at Malibu as opposed to like leaving the country to do this. Like I want to experience something.
But do you want like an itinerary? Okay, today we're getting these three spots. Yeah, tomorrow we're getting these three spots.
I want an itinerary. I don't want it to be three or four activities per day. One or two max.
Yeah.
I want to take in what I'm doing.
And then you could chill the rest
of
the
day. I recognize like I'm not going to see everything in this city or in this country. It's impossible. So just narrow down what I want to do and really take it in, really get that museum, get that, you know, historical building, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to try to see everything.
Yeah, I agree with
4 days.
Yeah. Slee, you strike me as somebody who's going to go try to see everything.
I'm going to try and go. Yeah. I think that's actually the best way to put it. If you got one or two things planned during the day, you still got half the day left.
Yeah.
Or you still get home at 3 or you get back to the hotel.
Go crash at the
3 or 4 o'clock and you could still do that. Trav doesn't want to go anywhere.
Yeah, Trav, you just want to go there, camp out.
I want to put my feet up and have some food and hang out and relax and do nothing.
That's why all inclusive is probably perfect for
I'm okay with. What do you want to do today? Nothing. That sounds perfect to
I think it's okay to have days like that on vacation.
Absolutely
I
nothing.
Like, my brother goes on vacation, never stops. Never stops. He went to South America, went to Paraguay, Uruguay. I mean, he kept going to
La Paz.
He did not go to La Paz.
Let me know.
Yeah, I will let you know when he gets to La Paz.
I got you.
Yeah. So here's the thing, Slee. Yeah. You have traveled all over the world. Like, you're the only other person here, I think, is you and I have traveled to Africa, and yet you're fixated on this trip to La Paz.
But here's what happened. I wore the hat and then all of a sudden I tell like one or two stories about La Paz.
Emily, this was more than one or two stories.
Oh my God, it's like La Paz of Arabia. It's like,
And then all of a sudden it was, oh, let's guess, Al, where'd you go, La Paz? story about La Paz?
Well, you seem to have a nice time. I thought you might go back.
I think I've worn the hat since.
Now, did you, did you go backpacking? Because I've heard you talk about Tanzania. I've heard you talk about, did you like go backpacking those places or how'd you go?
All right, Tanzania, I went, no, it was actually, it was part of like a volunteer program. So you actually stay at a house.
Oh, nice.
There for 2 weeks. But then there's a lot of things you did in between. So Serengeti.
No, yeah.
Ngorongoro.
Yep.
The safaris. There were three safaris that we did. But it's all kind of part of everything that you did. So you had days that you're actually working. You had other days you could completely.
No, that's cool.
Did you do the backpack thing through Africa?
I did the backpack thing through Africa. I went Egypt, Dakar, Senegal. I went to Ghana. I went to Mali.
That's awesome.
I went to Mauritania.
Wow.
Those are my countries, yeah.
Did you do the safari?
I did not. There's all that is people. That's sub-Saharan Western Africa. Okay. It's just like real people. There's no animals. There's no lions
like
and tigers and bears. What's that?
Slee's been
Jordan?
To Jordan.
I've not been to Jordan.
Yeah. Last year went to Jordan only because so my best friend, it's so random to go to. The plan was to go to Istanbul. I want to go to Turkey. And one of my best friends lives in Jordan. So, and when you have somebody that's there, like that random of a country.
Sure.
You don't have to do anything.
Why? Yeah, right.
You guys ever been to San Luis Obispo?
I have. I've been to San Luis. It's nice.
You guys know where San Clemente is?
I like to go to, you know, San Luis Obispo, San Clemente. Every once in a while, we'll step out and go to San Diego.
Well, what's the wildest place you've ever gone? What's the, like, have you ever gone somewhere
that Phoenix.
Make us go?
The furthest I've ever been from home is Moscow.
Oh, yeah, Moscow.
Yeah, so I've been to Moscow, I've been to Helsinki, I've been to Stockholm. I did the Northern Europe kind of trip.
Along
the way. But it was one trip where we hit all the spots, and I was a teenager, we were playing baseball, so it was kind of...
You were playing baseball in Finland and Sweden and stuff?
Yeah, so we took a trip. It was between graduated high school, it was before my freshman year of college, and it was a baseball trip, and we went all over the place.
Yeah.
And we played these places. They don't play baseball, right? So we're kind of teaching the locals how to play baseball. It was fun.
Yeah,
it was,
cool.
I would appreciate it more as an older person. As a 17-year-old, this place sucks. They don't know how to play baseball. They don't even know how to play baseball.
Oh,
by the way, you're doing an impression of your son.
Michael. I was going to say, every time he talks, Michael doesn't know how to play baseball. That's right. Well, you go. So the kids are all in college. I know Michael's the only one left, but you don't have to worry about them as much. Will you and Susan go? Will you guys
travel?
Go international trips?
Yeah, well, certainly more than we have leading up to this point. But no, I put it to you this way. We're not going to be the where in the world are we going this summer couple.
Where in the world is Travis Rogers? Yeah, is not going to be a series.
He's on those white shores of Santorini. There he is.
White shores of Santorini.
It's number one on the list.
Yeah, by the way, they're black shores. I don't know if you knew that.
I'm thinking of like the buildings.
The buildings are all white, but it's black sand beaches in Santorini. Crazy.
I got a question for you guys. Emily has told us today that she is in the top. Emily, correct me if I get the
she's a one percenter.
Oh, she's a one percenter.
Oh,
she
Emily's
is in the
1% nice.
percent of all Spotify listeners when it comes to time spent listening to Taylor Swift. And we
really
did the math.
Oh, wait, actually, don't tell them. Do you want them to guess?
Oh yeah, Emily, tell them. You take it from here.
All right, guys, so guess the amount.
All right,
guess how much you think.
The amount in time?
Yes, amount of minutes spent listening in a year to Taylor Swift on Spotify.
Or you could do it like time per day. Like amount
time per day, maybe, yeah.
And keep in mind, every day. We average it out to every day.
7 days a week.
I'll say 30 minutes a day.
Okay.
I'll go 47 minutes per day.
M?
68. Is that what we decided on?
I think by the way, my math.
No, it's right. Somebody else sent the math in.
Yeah,
it's 68 minutes a day.
68 minutes a day.
She released several albums last year. She released Evermore, Folklore, Red Taylor's version, Fearless Taylor's version. Yeah. Okay, guys, so I have
some
examples.
She destroyed Jake Gyllenhaal in a song.
Yes, of course.
But I just if you listen an hour and 8 minutes a day, and you said you didn't listen every day, right?
No.
So that means next day you got to do 216.
Got to double up.
I had that really long road trip. That's when I traveled across the country. Like, these are all these things that add up.
Now, I'll say this. I've been to a Taylor Swift concert.
Oh, I'd go to a Taylor Swift concert.
Oh, she's great.
What?
She puts on a really good show. You haven't been yet?
Wait a second.
I haven't been.
Hey, this is...
Maybe get off Spotify and buy a ticket, Emily.
Yeah.
One, they are very expensive. Two, I just haven't had that much money around to spend. It's a lot of money to go see Taylor Swift.
But this is obviously something that's terribly important to you.
and I really want to see her.
Yeah.
But
she hasn't funding
been on,
Emily.
She hasn't been on tour since 2018.
So you guys want to hear something? The time I went to see a Taylor Swift concert, she always brings like a famous person up, you know, to like perform or hang out.
Oh, who
with
was
her
yours? Lisa Kudrow?
Kobe Bryant.
Wow.
Yeah. They unveiled the banner for most number of sellouts in the history of Staples Center. So Kobe was there to unveil the banner for Taylor Swift. Yeah.
Okay.
That's really cool.
So she's looking at SoFi Stadium, though. So that might be the next one if she does a tour soon.
She was. They canceled the show
what
there.
Does,
yeah.
Not the best seat, not the worst seat. What is that going to run him?
A lot.
Like a couple hundred?
A couple hundred.
A couple hundred bucks.
Yes.
For a good seat.
Yes.
We can make that.
You know, the one thing that came to me when I went to that concert was, and you know, the music is, I like the music and all that. But I thought, you know, if I was a dad and I had a kid, a daughter, and she was idolizing Taylor Swift, I would think.
Her dad's a fan too.
I would think, you know what? She's a good role model. Taylor Swift seems like a genuinely nice person. So I think it's good to spend that much time with
Taylor
Swift.
She uses her private plane a lot, but that's okay.
When's she coming to town?
Not announced yet. So, it's going to be potentially next year, but she's scoped out some stuff. But she hasn't been on tour for a while. Her mom's sick. That's why she hasn't been on tour.
Okay.
You need to start a good idea folder for me because I got something for her that we're going to need to take.
So yeah, get a new idea folder. Yeah. How many idea folders do you have?
Two now.
Two.
Emily keeps one for
me. And it's
me,
a lot.
And I got, yeah. Got
Slee, do you keep an idea? Slee's pointing at his head. Oh, yeah. They're all
steel
traps.
Yeah. So many good ones.
That there are just one thing after the next. One thing after the next. Super Crosstalk is brought to you by Coors Light, keeping Southern California chill all season long. And your boy Kimbrel nearly did it again last night, Mace.
Yes, he did.
What, nearly blow it again?
You let a couple of runs. Just a little traffic.
Yeah, Dave Roberts.
Just a little traffic.
Dave's like, everything's okay.
I love the press conference.
It was fine. That's always encouraging.
Yeah, it was fine.
What'd you think of Krimbel? It was fine.
Hey,
you know.
Other than
the walks.
He's like, how about Muncy?
I'm trying to remember. What was the final score of the game?
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Did it really matter all that much? Wouldn't you like to see him, I don't know, get people out easily? Super Crosstalk brought to you by Coors Light. I already did that. Mason and Ireland coming up next.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
1:15 in the Southland on a Thursday. It is time for Mason's favorite day of the week that moved 2 days. It is a live imaging Thursday.
Yes.
On Mason and Ironwood, except Johnny I's not here.
No.
The great. Is it Brian or Andy?
Andy. Andy Kamineski. That looks like Andy.
Welcome, Andy. It's good to see you.
Good to see you, Chris. You look dapper.
Thank you so much. I'm going to bring this up since I always do Boogie Night Spritz with Andy.
Yes,
the great John Ironwood. I know we mentioned this in Super Crosstalk.
Yes.
He texted me yesterday from Idaho.
Oh, that's really nice.
And he was happy about the Boogie Nights bit or the drop we used in the Travis and Sliwa open. So not only is he texting just me.
Right.
He's also listening to Travis and Sliwa on the app driving through Idaho. He even gave me a little heart emoji at the end.
Oh, no, he didn't.
He did.
No.
Do you want to see it?
Yeah, I want to see it. He did not.
That was the drop, by the way.
I've never seen a heart emoji from John Ironwood.
It was a heart emoji.
I think he's not a heart emoji guy.
He's a texting me guy on vacation. Well, apparently, the reports are in that he will not reply to a text from you or corporate Greg.
Okay, in fairness,
or Jorge.
I have not sent John Ireland a text. I know the role here is he's on vacation. Don't think about work. Go do your Idaho things, whatever that would mean.
Well, you know what it means.
What does it mean?
We'll talk about it later. Let's get the show rolling. The biggest show on the radio, Mason and Ireland, is on for your Thursday right now. Nice socks, by the way. We'll get to that later, too.
Yeah, fine. God.
Long-running list of things we're getting to later.
Looking at my
socks. Those socks were ridiculous.
We'll talk about it later. The socks were fine.
No, they were weird.
Yeah, they were fine. You are the only people who noticed, I can tell you that much. Who's the board op today? What's your name?
His name is Jeff.
I'm Tyler.
Tyler.
Tyler, I like the enthusiasm with which you said it, but Tyler, I'm going to ask you a favor.
I'm here for you.
We're not going to wear Boston crap in here, like F Boston. You realize you're wearing a Boston Red Sox hat.
It's a UCLA hat. It's just different colors.
No.
That's Red Sox.
Take off that red hat. Take off that red hat.
That hat. We don't do that.
Off with your hat, sir.
Can I turn it backwards?
No, because then I have to look at it.
Right, then Bergman has to
look at it. What about inside out? What if he turns it inside out?
A rally cap?
Then it's a rally cap.
Rally cap?
The Dodgers are rallying right now.
I kicked one of you guys out of here when you were wearing a St. Louis Cardinals hat.
That was probably Brian.
God, I hate the Cardinals.
They have a way.
Yeah. How's your big podcast?
Locked on Lakers? 5 days a week.
It's on the YouTube. It's on
the YouTube. It's available, Steve, everywhere you get your podcast. Never behind a paywall.
So I would imagine.
Doing well.
Yesterday was a big day for the Locked on Lakers. It was big here with the Lakers. Now, I want to get your take on LeBron James, $97.1 million extension.
The Lakers just officially announced it. I just got the email. So it is signed, sealed, delivered. LeBron has a 2-year extension, a 1+1, second year being the player option.
Wait, 1+1 or 2+1?
1+1.
1+1. And that times up.
The year that's coming up was under contract anyway.
Okay, so now he's here for three years.
Yeah,
this year, next year.
Right, the longest he could do because of CBA rules and his age. Is there you go. Nice. Nice work.
I like that.
1+1.
1+1.
And the second is a player option.
So now Ramona was talking yesterday. No side has leverage here. Now, my interpretation of this is that LeBron James likes being in LA. Yeah. LeBron James likes this lifestyle. Kids go to school here, all that stuff. Family's happy, etc. I don't think there was any ever question that he was going to sign an extension.
I did not find this even slightly suspenseful.
Now, what was suspenseful, not even suspenseful, because I thought it was, he didn't have to sign it until June the 30th. Why did he sign it now, do you think?
Because why deal with the questions of this for an entire season?
True.
Why get asked about it after every practice,
yep,
after every game, every city you go to? Why have this linger over the team?
Right.
Because it's going to become a story. And if you know deep down, the odds of me leaving are really small, non-existent. And whatever leverage he could create from this, I think was actually pretty minuscule also. It's pretty limited to begin with.
Right.
Just get it out of the way. Just get it out of the way so you don't have to deal with it. And then the front office, the moves that we know they're trying to make.
Right.
Whatever moves Rob Pelinka now makes.
Let me just ask, you said the moves we know they're trying to make. Like, what do
trading
you
Russell
know?
Trading Russell Westbrook.
That, okay.
Trading
that,
Russell
that
Westbrook.
Part of it. That
yes.
part of it, yes.
I think it's been plainly clear.
I was not sure what you were speaking of, but yes.
No,
this
it's
Russell Westbrook piece.
They are all different incarnations of a Russell Westbrook deal. You know, I mean, someone like Talen Horton Tucker could be on the table.
Yeah.
But the main thing is Russ. Everybody knows they're looking to do this, but what would be bad is if the Lakers made a desperate move because they feel like they got to dazzle LeBron. They got to prove their loyalty
to LeBron. But he
already signed. Exactly.
There's no requirement to dazzle anymore.
And now Rob Pelinka, to whatever degree these deals are actually possible, he doesn't have to do it from a place of fear. And now the Lakers don't have to do it from a place of disadvantage.
Right. Well, I'll say this. Actually, I'll ask you this. If I tell you LeBron James is going to be healthy and productive for this upcoming season, and Anthony Davis is going to give us 70 games, can that team win a championship?
I think they're just below the cemented contenders, and I got to see what this looks like in terms of the new guys they brought
in.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know Lonnie Walker IV and Juan Toscano-Anderson.
Right.
I just don't know. Troy Brown.
I got to see what Kendrick Nunn looks like as a, like, living human being.
I didn't even know he was. Yeah, he's still under contract. I didn't know he was going to show.
I think you got a foundation there.
Right.
I would not put them at the level of Golden State.
Phoenix,
the Clippers, if healthy.
Not even Memphis.
Probably not Memphis. You know, maybe not Denver.
That's feeling 5 or 6-y to me.
But if these other guys fit well, if Russell Westbrook either turns into a better fitting player or Russell Westbrook responds better to Darvin Ham, recognizes if I want to play in this league moving forward, I can't have another season where I don't look like I fit in.
Or Darvin Ham just says, go sit there.
Right.
While we play.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, that's the other. He's been given broad capabilities or broad authority to be able to do that.
Well, you know what's interesting about that is there were a lot of reports last season that Frank Vogel, who we saw bench Russell Westbrook a few times down the stretch of games,
yep,
that Vogel actually had the authority to do that stuff. He was actually the guy often standing in the way of it because he thought he would lose Russ.
Right.
And he had, you know, to whatever degree Vogel thought his job was safe, and I think he recognized it wasn't.
Sure.
But to whatever degree he was trying to coach for his job, he needed to try to build a relationship of some kind with Russ.
Right.
Darvin Ham doesn't have to worry about that. Darvin Ham knows he's going to outlast Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook, unless he plays at like an undisputed MVP level,
won't be here next year.
He ain't going to be here next year.
So that
gives Darvin Ham a lot of freedom in the way he goes about trying to find the best way to use Westbrook, assuming Westbrook's going to be on the team.
That leads to the next natural question, which is, Andy, do you believe in love?
I do believe in love.
You do?
I do believe in love.
Bergman, do you believe in love?
Not anymore. I mean, I believe in it. It's still a real thing, but I want to marry
you just
for
don't believe it for
money.
You.
He wants money. To marry for money yeah. and not wow. for love. Oh, God. Listen.
This is Mason. Love will keep us together.
Playing the role of John Ireland today.
Am I nuts Gregory. Or will love keep us together?
No, Ireland says only marry an heiress. Do not marry for love.
Dance like John Ireland.
This is the John Ireland dances.
Oh, whitest man on the planet.
He really is. He really
love
is.
Will keep us together, says Mason.
No way. Mason, I mean, it's really crazy when you think about Ireland's estate. You know, I mean, Ireland's got a pretty good estate.
Oh, Ireland's he's got a beautiful mansion,
a
really
mansion,
cool
man
neighborhood,
servants, all that stuff.
Gated community,
and
all that.
Still not enough for him. He still is trying to live vicariously through Greg Bergman's future wealth.
He's yes. trying to get me an heiress. So, you know what? I'm going to go with John on this situation. All right, Andy, let me ask you this way. Let's say it's not going to happen, but you and your wife are no longer together.
You and Anna.
Together.
Yeah, me and
you and
Anna
are no longer together.
And you married for love.
I did marry. I did not marry for wealth.
Yeah. Okay.
So now, you're all. It's been a couple years. Mm-hmm. You want to get married again. How are you getting married? Are you getting married for love or for money?
Well, it's.
If you can get an heiress, are you going to go with the heiress? Or are you going
to
go with?
She's got to be an heiress. She has to be an heiress that's good with children, because I have a daughter and mm-hmm. she is going to be in my life. But to sort of
heiress is, by the way, known for being good with children.
No, oh yeah.
They yeah. just take off their tiara and yes. they.
When I watch those Real Women, you know, all those housewives, all I think of is motherly.
Good mom.
Great with kids.
She's
oh, yeah,
a good mom.
So good.
Yeah.
But like, you don't need a mom.
Once they put down that fifth mojito, their mothering skills just kick
just
right in.
Just pulled a weave off somebody.
Okay, well,
hey,
this,
son.
This is actually a discussion that I've talked about on air, but I've had this discussion with my wife. My
okay.
wife.
Hold it then.
Okay. I will hold this.
We'll do it next. Plus, one woman. Very disappointed that she married for love. And, hey, did you see what Craig Kimbrell did last night?
Mm. Mm.
Exactly. Mm. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Oh, God. Is that what we're in for?
Well, it is a live imaging Thursday. And while this was originally the Clinton Yates theme song, by the way, how great was it, Clinton getting clobbered all over the air yesterday?
Oh, Clinton, Professor Yates.
And then he invited himself for this afternoon for Sedano and Cap, the reunion. Sedano's finally back from vacation. We're all here. And he's like, oh, yeah, maybe I'll stop by. And Lindsay,
is he going to teach teach some soccer?
Producer Lindsay goes, are you invited? And everybody roars. Poor CY. I love him.
I love CY.
You don't, though.
I texted him after. You want to bet?
What did you say? Oh, hey, listen, I know Morales is going a little rough on you, but it ain't me, man. It ain't me.
Do you want the actual text message I sent?
Hey, loved having you here today.
Oh, well, you're kind of close.
Yeah, I know.
You're kind of close.
How would Julian read this?
Oh, Julian.
I sent a text.
Consigliere, his
said, you bring a great energy to the station. Big fan. That's all.
You're such a fake.
Why is that fake?
Clinton does bring a great energy.
He does bring a great energy.
Thank you.
He gets all fired
when
up.
When somebody is targeted by the imaging missiles,
yeah,
and then everybody comes after him, mm-hmm, what Mace has to do is be the other guy so he stands out. Like, hey, man, those guys are crazy. You know, I never wanted live imaging. I don't even think Morales
I
should be
here. I love live imaging. I think every day should be live imaging.
No, easy.
Oh, look, boss Amanda says no.
She's not here. Oh. She's at lunch with Sliwa.
Oh, wow.
Sliwa's got some issues.
Well,
I probably should have said that out loud, but why not?
That'd be a laugh.
Wow.
Right?
You're just dropping bombs already.
That's going to be a crack up of a meeting.
I don't think they want me to talk. I need to talk more Lakers. I know what the people want. I see my Twitter feed. Meanwhile, Mason in Ireland. I love that his Twitter's about to go crazy downstairs.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And then he's going to get out of this.
He's going to wonder, what happened?
Oh, he'll know.
He'll know.
Mason in Ireland with Andy Kamenetsky continues now.
All right. By the way, Morales, you're good for this.
Well, that sounds like a John. That's what John always does to me.
Bergman, yeah, well, I mean, you're here, so you're part of it all. So
he's totally going to be on my side.
The home ishbuka.
Yeah, so you heard this conversation. This is an ongoing conversation.
About your socks?
John wants, first of all, my socks are fine, but let's save the socks.
Okay.
Because here's where we're going right now. So yes. Bergman says the next time he gets married, it's going to be for money.
You're not getting married, though, honestly, again.
Probably not.
But that's for the
best.
But
if I would, yeah, it is for the best, honestly.
You'll get married again.
You say that.
He falls in love, I think.
Yeah, you do fall in love.
He's a fallen lover.
You'd like to think that, but that's not true. but either way, I don't want to marry for love again.
Morales, will you marry for love or marry for money or...
Well, I'm driving another woman's car right now who's in New York, and it's a really nice car, so I think that pretty much tells you.
Yeah, you're driving her car.
Yep. Told you
there
to be
you
on
go.
My side.
Yeah.
No, I would marry for money, but probably not because I still would get annoyed.
No, that's part of the
I
deal.
I still want to be left alone 5 out of 7 days. But well, if they're really successful in business, like she is,
yeah,
she's also busy. So she leaves me alone.
It sounds like you will get married setup. It sounds like you will get married
the
setup of the marriage.
No, like, absolutely.
The setup matters more than either the money or the person.
Well, I mean, are you still in love? Let's be honest.
Yes.
Oh, come on.
So you're like, I want to marry you as long as you're out of town 5 days a week.
I believe that a perfect relationship is 1 day a week.
You know what?
Maybe there's a bonus. Like, I'm a great boyfriend 1 night a week.
Oh,
Saturday night, I take you to a great restaurant. Everything, the accoutrement will be great.
Yes.
The love will be great.
You are what they call a catch. The women.
You know what, though? Okay, to Morales' point, the best relationship I think I've ever seen was my mom's parents, my grandparents on that side. And my grandfather was a traveling salesman.
See?
He was gone Monday through Friday.
What'd he sell? Encyclopedia?
Clothes.
Vacuum cleaners?
Clothes.
Clothes, okay.
Well, I mean, back then, that's what they did.
That is right. What they did, yeah.
He traveled all over the country. He was involved with a store that had wares all over America and whatever. But he was gone 5 days a week, and I'm telling you.
And that was the secret to your grandparents'
exactly.
marriage.
Exactly.
They didn't see each other a lot.
It may very well have been, because I'm telling you, I never saw them argue. I never saw them even seem annoyed with each other. Absence made the heart grow fonder.
Do you really think Juan enjoys seeing you every day?
I do.
Really?
I do. I enjoy seeing Juan every day.
Well, I believe that. That's not what Chris was asking.
Exactly.
It's a two-way street.
You don't think when you get home today, he's going to go, oh, you're here again?
No, he's going to go... You're home!
Uh-huh.
And my dogs are going to go, you're home!
What is that, a 1955 sitcom?
Yes, it is.
He's just waiting for you to get home?
Okay,
Thank you, Christopher.
One day a week. Maybe a Tuesday lunch if you're nice.
Tuesday lunch. All right. Thank you very much. Live imaging Tuesday.
Money to lock out again?
That goes on. Yeah, lock out again.
Mason in Ireland continues right now.
Okay. So I mentioned that there's a woman who is very unhappy that she married for love instead of money. This is from TikTok. Some unnamed lady who was on TikTok, and she left this message for the world.
Back when I was young and hot, I should have married for money. But no, because I was in love. Stupid.
See, she gets it.
Okay, first of all.
No.
Maybe that lady back in the day was hot and just life has worn on her.
Yes.
That is the least hot sounding voice I've ever heard
not,
in my life.
Right, she does not sound hot. Let's do it one more time.
Back when I was young and hot, I should have married for money. But no. Because I was in love.
She sounds like the
stupid.
She sounds like the bitter version of Ethan.
No. She had a bad, let's face it, she had a really bad relationship. Whatever her marriage was like no good.
Hey, aren't you the guy who does the Lakers dance party? Hoedown on your phone?
Hoedown. No.
Hoedown.
Like he's from Baltimore.
He does sound like he's from Baltimore.
So, yeah, Bergman, look, there's one lady who got burned. Morales, not in that
There's
camp
more than one
love.
Lady that's gotten burned. There's more than one guy that's gotten
I
burned.
I know one lady who got burned.
No, I got burned.
Yeah, I think love is very underrated. I'm going to stick up for love on this show. All right. Yeah, I get it. Is that you or you? Or both? Yeah, that was him. You know, one thing that we didn't mention yesterday, I'm going to pivot right out of this. Thank you. It is a fact, by the way, that every day, if you ever come to LA Live, there are these big cement kind of round records in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So I walk by the Captain and Tennille one every single day. Best record, 1976, Love Will Keep Us Together. We were talking about this earlier. What's weird is everybody in the 70s got a variety show. It's like they had a variety show. Starland Vocal Band, Afternoon Delight, a variety show. The best one of all. Shields and Yarnell. Now, nobody knows who Shields and Yarnell is. Do you know Morales? They were mimes.
Will Michael Thompson know who Shields and Yarnell is?
No, this is 70. They were mimes, and they got their own variety show.
On TV?
On TV, mimes.
Okay, how did the introduction work?
Oh, it's like walking against wind, I'm stuck in a glass box,
but like,
all
how
that
does
stuff.
The show start if nobody can talk? Like, who introduces
mime routine. Mime routine.
Do their guests talk, or is it just the
I
two
I think
of
their
them?
Guests did talk. I don't remember. Not everybody was
like
walking against
hour.
Wind. Yeah. Everybody hates mimes. All right, so Craig Kimbrell last night. You watched Craig Kimbrell last night?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. I mean, this is what you get with Craig Kimbrell. It's an e-ticket ride. He did get the save last night. He did retire the first two batters before giving up a hit and a walk. But he did get the save. And to everybody out there, it's like, Mason, you're so stupid. You're going to keep going to Craig Kimbrell. What? I forget the final score last night. Did we win? Yes. Does Craig Kimbrell still have an opportunity to figure it out? Yes.
Do you think he's going to figure it out?
Yes.
Really? You actually think he's going to figure this out?
Well, do I think he's going to is different from should I let him continue to try to figure it out? I think there's a chance he figures it out.
Right now, there really is no harm in letting him try to figure this
thing
out.
Thank you.
They've got a billion game lead in the division.
Yep.
And there's also, there's no loyalty to Craig Kimbrell.
No, none whatsoever.
This is what makes it different than the issues the Dodgers had the last couple seasons with Kenley Jansen.
Yep.
Because there was politics involved with that. Like the idea of this guy is a Dodger lifer so far. He is one of the best closers in Dodger history, and he's one of us. So,
I'm not talking to you.
Okay. Makes it interesting. Makes it more.
I'm talking to the booth while you're talking. I didn't mean to distract you.
Well,
apparently, you can't do multiple things.
Well, no,
things.
You know what it was? I've seen you, we've worked together a million times. I've seen you talk to the booth before. I've never seen you do it so dramatically, though. You did it very dramatic.
Keep it down.
No, but it was like, now coming.
Because I didn't want to interrupt you.
But I thought you were doing a bit. I thought you were actually announcing Craig Kimbrell. That's what I actually thought.
Oh, yeah,
you
no, 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 no.
But it's different now. Like, Craig Kimbrell, he's on a one-year deal. There's
yep.
no loyalty towards
no
him.
No loyalty. By the way, there's no guarantee he's going to close in the postseason, even if he gets good. Could be Julio Urias or Dustin May.
Most of the guys, that could theoretically take his place, other than, I guess, Evan Phillips, they're all hurt anyway.
Right.
So what difference does it make if, as long as things don't really fall apart, might as well let him try to figure this thing out, because then, once you eventually replace him, he's got nothing to complain about.
What do you consider falling apart? Because they kind of already have fallen apart.
Did they win or did they lose last night? Did he wiggle out of it, or did he take last night as the way for it to go?
He's pitched in seven games in August. He's given up runs in four of them.
No, I'm not saying he hasn't fallen apart. He's in pieces right
now.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I'm talking about the Dodgers. The Dodgers have a 17-game lead.
That's not
going
to happen. That's not going
to
happen.
Point.
So give somebody a shot to be in that role.
Why give someone a shot?
Because you know he's not going to be there.
The person may be a AAA right now. It could be Blake Treinen. He's not even on the roster at the moment.
Do you think that Craig Kimbrell is going to be closing out games in the postseason?
There's a chance.
No. It's a yes or no question.
I don't know if there's a chance.
Don't give me that. First of all, don't turn things around on me.
You're trying to turn it around on me.
You're trying to turn it around on me.
No, I'm in the big boy chair, and you're over
there.
I'm
asking you a question. Doesn't matter what chair we're in.
Yeah.
Just answer the question.
You're asking me if I know. I don't know if he's going to figure it out.
I'm saying he might figure it out. Steve, do you think this is an opinion-based question? Do you think he's going to be closing out games in the postseason?
How can I not say there's a chance?
It's what you think. It's your own mind.
Right, that's what I think. I think there's a chance. I
can't believe you can't say yes or no.
I'm not going to say yes or no.
It's ridiculous.
The answer to everything is a yes or no. It's not
my answer
down,
is no.
White,
Andy,
black,
no.
It's not that.
No. There, see, was that difficult?
No.
Apparently it is for Steven.
Because you don't know, but you still don't know.
I'm asked, do I think this will happen?
I saw Dave Roberts say a bunch of nice things about him last night.
Yeah.
Like, he was fine.
I bet if you ask Dave Roberts now, do you think he's going to be closing in the playoffs, he'll say no. Like, if you actually got him in a locked room, you know it's you've swept for bugs.
Lie detector test.
Yeah. Inject him with a little sodium pentothal, you know, that sort
of
thing.
Yeah, right.
Say, do you think Craig Kimbrell is going to be closing high-leverage games in the playoffs? Dave Roberts is going to be, no.
I don't know.
He won't.
What if he locks in? What if he turns into the guy from the first half last year
that had a .48 ERA?
Oh,
my God. You're talking about a year and a half ago at this point.
I'm talking about last year.
I just think there's
last season.
There's better options than him, assuming they're healthy.
Look, Evan Phillips is I think he'd be a great closer. But I said this yesterday. I'll say it again. I think the most important pitcher on the staff may be the guy that comes in the seventh inning or the eighth inning with two runners on or the bases loaded. I saw Evan Phillips get out of
him. Kimbrell's going to be that guy either.
No, he's definitely not that guy. He's not your seventh inning guy. That's your Blake Treinen. That's your Evan Phillips. That's the really tough part. Closing is different. Closing, you at least come in with the bases empty.
Let me ask you something. I mean, first of all, I think it could be Dustin May.
Dustin May, although I also figure him into the rotation potentially.
Okay,
he struck out 10 in five innings on Sunday.
Speaking of the rotation, and some of this has to do with his health and how many innings do you think he can go?
Yep.
But I think it was over at CBS Sports. I was reading a roundtable of guys talking about the Craig Kimbrell situation and who it could be if it's not him. And one of the writers threw out the idea that Kershaw, let's just say he comes back, and you don't know exactly where he is. You know he's going to be on the staff. He's not going to be deactivated, but you don't know if he's really a guy that can give you five, six innings consistently. Would you consider Clayton Kershaw one inning, letting him go crazy for one inning, throw his best stuff, not have to worry about his body?
I'm going to use a word I've never used before on the show. Preposterous.
Really?
That is preposterous. Clayton Kershaw is not going to be your closer. He's not going to be your high leverage closer.
Well,
I want to know the name of that baseball guy who was part of that panel who actually suggested that.
I will look this up.
I question their credit. Am I right? Of all the people, Kershaw's like way down the list of guys you would want to bring in the ninth inning.
Okay.
His name is
Matt Snyder.
Matt Snyder.
Nat or Matt?
Matt. Matt Snyder.
Yeah, no idea who that is.
Kershaw recently said he's focusing on October as he deals with a back injury. Maybe he'll only be able to pitch in short spurts. They'll have a full rotation because they're so stacked with depth. How about trying Kershaw in a short relief?
So here's what I know of Kershaw. He's got a back injury. It's not believed to be serious. They know they don't need him during the regular season. They're going to tune him up in September for the playoffs. I believe Clayton Kershaw will be in the playoff rotation, despite what Matt Snyder wants to go to Kershaw.
He said, let's go nuts. Let's think a little bit outside the box.
Am I nuts here?
Am I nuts, or could Clayton Kershaw be the closer?
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about if, say, you don't feel totally confident about him going 5 or 6 innings on a regular basis, and you don't want to use that spot, say, in like game 2 or 3, that could be really important on a guy you're not feeling totally confident about physically, and you have other options. Maybe you put Clayton Kershaw.
By the way, are you better
role.
After last night with Tony Gonsolin? Are you starting to eat your words a little bit? He's going to be a force in the postseason.
He's been fantastic. I hope he stays that way. I still am not confident in him in the postseason.
Yeah, everything I see, he looks.
He's been
just
great,
spectacular.
All right, the Catman.
Coming up next for you, we will spin the wheel of questions. You never know what's going to come up. Andy Kamenetsky is in for John on a live Imaging Tuesday, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Save the gossip for next segment.
It's a really good story.
Mason and Ireland, your Thursday Live Imaging Thursday. It's time for Wheel of Questions, driven by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. If you've got a car just sitting around not being used, bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota, the house of yes. Jorge's not here. Producer Jorge's off today. So producer Tyler, who's sitting in, you got that wheel? Hit it, homeboy. Oh, he hit that pretty quickly.
Yeah, he did.
He was quick on that
timing
trigger finger.
Timing is good.
That's a good job.
And here we go. Andy Kamenetsky.
Yeah.
Would the world be better if technology were similar to what it was 200 years ago, or your tech described in your favorite sci-fi movie or novel? So in other words, would you rather it be, what would it be, 1800?
1822.
1822 or Blade Runner? Which are we better off?
Oh, my God.
1822 or Blade Runner? I'm trying to think. We were covered wagons in 1822.
1822 was a rough time to be
no
living
phone.
In. No phones. I don't even
no
know.
Electricity.
I don't even know if you had toilets then.
Yeah, you may not have had toilets.
It's the outhouses. That was the outhouses era.
So, but think about it. Blade Runner.
Blade Runner, you got yourself some flying cars.
Gigantic billboards everywhere.
But you have replicants.
Replicants, right.
You do have replicants.
You got Sean Young doing handstands and stuff.
And it's always raining.
It is always raining in the future.
It is always
raining. Did you see the new Batman movie?
Yeah.
100% chance of rain every day in Gotham City. 100%.
God, why does
any rainy season.
Why does anybody live in Gotham City?
It is really a crap town.
It's awful.
Yeah,
it's
really is a terrible place
to live. It's all crime. It's all killing.
Yeah.
It's like five wealthy
people. You've
got
crazy people with makeup
it's
trying to blow the city up. Yeah.
The police force, incompetent. They rely on one man.
Yeah, Commissioner Gordon's the only guy they got.
Right, they rely on one man in a bat suit who is bat bleep crazy to handle everything. It's overrun with arch criminals.
Yes, it is.
Why does it, and it's a big city. It seems like cost of living's high.
Yeah.
Why does anybody live in Gotham City?
Very good question. It's a very good question. But you didn't answer the real question.
I would
1850 technology or Blade Runner technology?
Blade Runner. Because 1822 just seems rough. That seems like a rough time.
It was a tough time.
Alive.
Wasn't that like the Dust Bowl and stuff
Dust
like
Bowl,
that?
Dust Bowl. You get like
that was a real John Steinbeck novel.
You
there.
Get a small cold, you could be dead.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
right.
Didn't know how to.
Oh,
fix
that's
anything.
True. You didn't know how to. You couldn't operate. You couldn't treat illnesses.
You're 11 years old. You're getting married. It's a difficult time.
Yeah.
It's like Oregon Trail. You're dying from dysentery.
Yes. Exactly. So, Bergman, 1822 or Blade Runner?
See, I wanted to go with 1822 just because I didn't have, you know, phones or pages or anything like that growing up in the 80s. So I thought maybe it'd be like that, but it's not. You don't have toilets or TV or any of that type of stuff. Just give me the Blade Runner. I need some technology.
You know what you're asking for. Flying cars, robot ladies.
Yeah, I know.
Around.
We're all going to die.
Yeah, yeah. No,
but you're also going to die in 1822.
Okay, so
it's really like how you die.
Tripping.
Let's
over
go
a rock.
To Tyler, who took his Red Sox hat off. Hey, Tyler, what would you choose?
I got to go with Greg. I'm so technology dependent. I just there's no way.
Yeah, see, I'm going back to 1822. I think it was, there were simpler times. I think you could take everybody at face value. I feel like, you know, you'd go on a long,
back then.
You'd go on a long covered wagon ride, and it would be a real bonding experience for the family.
No air conditioning?
No air conditioning, or it'd be warm.
Freezing
be warm,
to death?
Freezing, it'd be freezing sometimes.
It would take so long, Mace, for people to hear your voice. Like the shows that you did in 1822.
It would be like folklore.
It would take like...
passed down from generation to generation.
Yeah, like a week later, the people in Pennsylvania and Maine would be hearing about Mace's radio.
It's true. It's true.
Maybe he'd give a yes or no answer to something.
Oh, screw you.
Oh, like you know the answer.
I didn't say you're I know the answer, like but I have an opinion. Answer. I say yes or no
Will
when asked a yes or no
Mordecai
question.
Will be in the postseason roster? Yes or no, Mace?
Yes or no. All right, there you have it. I think the future is going to be better than everybody else does. I know I chose 1822, but I'm not afraid of the future. Like people like Ireland and Bergman are afraid of the future.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't think there's – look, I am all for a robot dog. Like robot dogs are – have you seen the robot dogs?
I've not seen a robot
They're adorable.
Dog.
Not
They're
only are they robot dogs, adorable. They have guns on not the back of their of, on
Oh,
their
I remember. Okay, now I know what you're talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah. You want some of those running around?
The robot
around?
Police dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, robot police dogs. Yeah. What's wrong with that?
They're not just going to all of a sudden malfunction a little bit and start shooting everyone.
They're trained by the police. I'm a little skeptical.
No.
That's a good point, too.
All right. Hey, real quick, I want to get this in. We don't want to spend a lot of time on it because it's just not what we do. But Deshaun Watson. Suspended officially for 11 games with a $5 million fine. What was your take on that, Andy?
I understand why people are upset.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people upset by this.
Yes.
A lot of women upset by this.
Yep.
And there is no real accounting from this, whether you're talking about from the original suspension of six games or the arbitration, other than Deshaun Watson. You know, maintaining his innocence while simultaneously apologizing.
Right.
Nobody seems to think that he did not do what he is accused of multiple times over. What I think is really interesting about this, though, is, you know, the original six-game sentence that went down, the judge that was involved said that she thought he was guilty of all of this.
Yes.
But gave it six games basically because of the NFL's own bylaws. And if you remember back, those bylaws were created off the Ray Rice incident,
right,
which went from two games to six games because of the outrage over the two-game suspension and the NFL kind of making this up as they went. And the NFL is just always going to be in a position where they feel like they're scrambling,
right,
on a situation like this, because the truth is they're not really equipped to handle a situation like this that is, you know, obviously delicate from a social situation, but it's a legal situation.
Right.
And the NFL isn't really equipped to do something.
Well, here's – so, first of all, I believe the women, there are, what, 20 women, I think, at this point?
There's too many.
I mean, they all corroborate each other, and clearly something went on along the lines of the description that we've heard. Now,
there's too many for him to have been looking for a regular conventional massage. There's
correct.
Too many that he sought out that way. When you're part of an NFL team and they can set you up with a professional massage, there's too many times of him doing it.
So here's my sticking point is, all right, so Deshaun Watson side and the NFL side, they agree to an independent arbitrator, a former judge, mm-hmm. and say, look, we're going to make our case. He's going to make his case. You make the decision. You can't then throw out the decision and say, okay, we're just going to come up with our own punishment, which is essentially what they did. Now, they negotiated it with Deshaun Watson, so they agreed to it. Weirdly, his first game with the Browns will be against the Houston Texans,
right,
11 weeks into the season.
I would like to think that that is a pure coincidence.
Okay, so we actually did, Bergman did some homework. This is a coincidence because if Deshaun Watson misses more than 11 games this year, his contract for next year will not vest. So he has to play at least 11 or he doesn't get the big money that he signed for, the largest guarantee in NFL history. So that's why it's 11.
Yeah, I mean, the reason I also think it is just pure coincidence is the NFL, whatever credibility you think they have in this entire situation, it all goes out the window.
Right.
If they decided to give a little zazz to Deshaun Watson's return, like, ooh, let's create some drama. He's going back to Houston.
That's the conspiracy.
Well, if they did that, I can promise you that will get leaked.
Absolutely.
And they're aware of it. Like, there's somebody inside the NFL is going to be offended by that, and they will make sure that we know the NFL was trying to create drama by making his first NFL appearance
against his former
against,
team.
I will never give the NFL the automatic benefit of the doubt on pretty much anything.
Yep.
This one I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt.
All right. Coming up next, hey, yesterday we had a conversation. Who's the smartest person you ever worked with? Who's the smartest person you ever worked with besides me?
Oh, so wow. Thank you for taking that off.
Yeah, I took myself off the table.
The smartest person I ever, well, I'll tell you who I think would answer that for me, Max Kellerman.
Kellerman's one of the smartest people I've worked with.
Yeah, I don't think Kellerman is...
Sometimes too smart for his own good.
Well, I was going to say, I don't think Kellerman is quite as smart as he thinks he is, but that's only because nobody is as smart as Kellerman thinks he is.
Correct.
But now, Kellerman's pretty smart.
The smartest person I've ever worked with is Jim Lampley.
Oh.
And he will join us next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.